Hello and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Callie, and I would like to examine, not necessarily with a fine-tooth comb, mind you, but I would love to examine Black Lagoon. Why? Because Black Lagoon has basically untaught me everything that my almost 27 years of life has taught me. And what did those 27 years of life teach me? They said, crime doesn't pay. Crime doesn't pay. Black Lagoon showed up and said, shut your filthy mouth. Crime pays in so many ways. And by the end of it, while I will never be a criminal, because I just do not have that dog in me, I can see why people like action movies, why people like heists movies, and why people like true crime. I mean, this is very outlandish, but it's pretty damn cool. So what is Black Lagoon about? There's this dude named Rock who basically gets shafted by his company and left for dead, or at least he's pronounced dead on all of his official documents, and he gets taken in by the Lagoon Company, which consists of Revy, Dutch, and Benny. First and foremost, these four together already make up a fairly diverse cast, because we have a Japanese person, a Chinese American person, a Black person, and a Jewish person. The representation is already there. That's pretty neat in and of itself. And what's great is basically nobody's hands are necessarily clean. What really makes Black Lagoon work with these four characters, with this premise, with the Lagoon Company, they aren't out to hurt anyone per se. That's not the type of crime that they're about. They're not even like a Robin Hood, steal from the rich, give to the poor. They live in a port, an island, where crime runs rampant, and all that they're looking for is to get paid. They're looking for their next job, and the original three, Revy, Dutch, and Benny, they just know their limits. They know what they can do, what they can't do, and the other person is able to compensate that for them. And when Rock comes, he's kind of the moral person in the group. He has his high morality, I guess you could say, because the entire time he's just thinking, I don't want to hurt anyone. This is wrong. This is wrong. Well, Rock, this is the life that you chose. And it's just so fascinating to see, not necessarily his descent, but not his progression either. There's a huge shift in Rock. And Rock, because of his quote-unquote high morals, brings about a shift in others. And by that, I mean, Revy is a hardened fighter. Revy is angry. Revy is, I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, Revy is just that bitch. Like, Revy is the type of person who, Revy is basically the woman who Spike Spiegel was talking about in Cowboy Bebop, the movie. By that, I mean, Revy is the type of woman who can kick just about anybody's ass, and we all love her for it. Even her exterior and interior, both metaphorically speaking, are melted by Rock. But they all also harden Rock. So it's funny that that's his name. or that's the name that they give him, because he's basically like kind of a second anchor, because Dutch is the leader. But Rock and his negotiation skills, his way of always trying to find a peaceful way out of a situation that they find themselves in, I can't think of anything more compelling about a group of criminals until you get into some of their backstories, which are quite harsh. But another thing that's really amazing about Black Lagoon is you don't necessarily get that for everyone. It's kind of what you see is what you get. And that's just pretty dope. I'm a huge fan of, yeah, we get to know more about Revy. It's wonderful. I'm glad that we know more about her past, not so much by what we see always, but it's kept kind of brief. And it's shown through her current actions. So we get some dialogue and we see how she carries herself. Really, Revy in herself is such an amazing character. That's why I keep dwelling on her, because she is a character written right. I'm just a huge fan. But there's no amazing backstory for Dutch, at least not one that I can remember. Dutch is just the cool-headed, bald leader, which, minus the leader part and the cool-headed part, I can relate to quite heavily. But yeah, just seeing them take on all of these jobs and seeing their dynamic and seeing how they each change, especially Rock and Revy, it's quite the journey. But all of this is mixed in with this high octane action and these motions that aren't convoluted. Black Lagoon is impressive, not just for its characters, but in each, I call them cases. In each case that happens, each job that they take on, there are beginnings, middles, and ends. And you never fully know what someone is thinking, but you'll always have a pretty good idea if they don't out and out say what it is that they're going to do. And what I love about this show is when you get the explanations, it's not like a, oh, reverse uno, plus one, plus two, reverse uno. It's really more of a, things didn't go according to plan, but we are so quick on our feet, or we planned for this to not happen the way that we thought it was going to happen. It's phenomenal. I have to say, seeing how they dealt with, I'll call them the vampire twins, especially, and their first case, which is the one where Rock was brought on. Those two really stick out to me because they have plans up to a point, but then they're just kind of thinking on the fly, and you never know what the ending is actually going to be. You have a faint idea of what the outcome will be. Oh yeah, our protagonists, they win, they are able to fight another day, but you don't know how deep that victory is going to cut. And that's the most apparent in the latter of the examples that I gave, that being the vampire twins. The action set pieces for the story with the vampire twins, and I'm trying so hard to not just spill everything from these two seasons, so I'm just focusing on this one, and I'm going to try not to spoil it, so bear with me. You're getting my live thoughts. The action set pieces for the Vampire Twins were so amazing. These kids know how to handle weapons, they know how to drive, and they are somehow able to be multiple steps ahead of everyone. There are several criminals all around the island who are trying to get these children, and nobody is able to, except the Lagoon Company has an idea of what to do. But is that enough? No, it's not. It just isn't. They don't know what they're getting themselves into, but they can think on the fly. But what's so terrifying, not just about this arc, but about all of them, is everything is run by money and power. And only sometimes are the two synonymous, which, neato, am I right? Well, I want to tell you a really quick story about a woman after my own heart named Balalaika. Balalaika is the woman who, whenever men desperately say mommy, that's who comes to my mind. She is cold. She is calculating. It takes a lot to piss her off. She knows exactly what she is doing at all times. And there are certain buttons with her that you just don't push. But she can be reasoned with. But no matter what, in any situation that Balalaika is in, while the Lagoon Company has some control, she has complete and utter control over every and any situation that she's in. And that is so cool. You don't understand. I can't sing this anime's praises high enough, because what they have in their characters, the characters are really what carry this series, which I know you might think, well, don't characters usually carry series that they're in? And the answer isn't always yes. I can tell you, for instance, that if I'm watching certain anime, I'm watching it for certain reasons. I don't necessarily love Dragon Ball Z, but I'm not going to say that Dragon Ball Z doesn't have good fights. The fights in Dragon Ball Z are worth watching, as are they in Dragon Ball Super. If I want to tune in for, and when I say characters, I don't mean character designs, I mean like actual characters. So if we're talking about something like, say, Made in Abyss, it does have some good characterizations, but what you're really looking at is the world building. World building makes up everything in Made in Abyss. And what's so great about Made in Abyss is you are placing characters in this world. I mean, yes, they go through things, but what you are really doing is they are the conduit for you to see how horrible this world actually is. And then, of course, you just have, you know, sometimes cute girls doing cute things, whether it be building stuff or playing music or camping. And really, that's fine. But the characterization in Black Lagoon, it's really what carries the series, because, like I said, as you see the morality shift, because like I said, as you see the moralities of these characters shift, and you see how they carry themselves throughout the entire thing, it's honestly, it's amazing character writing through and through. And I love seeing how things develop to the point where I don't always say this, but I genuinely want to read the manga, not so much to compare, which is why I read manga sometimes, is to compare the anime counterpart to the manga. But I genuinely just want to see how it progresses, because the manga is still going, I'm fairly certain. It's just that the anime ended. And what's so great is they ended, every job ends kind of neatly. So you really don't have to worry about coming up with some new ending like they did with Fullmetal Alchemist 2003. So they're just like, all right, there's no more show to be made right now, so we're not going to. And it's perfect. If you just look at the first two seasons, it's perfect that they do that. They knew where to stop, and it was an amazing stop. The action set pieces are amazing, though, I'm not going to lie. If you needed another reason other than the amazing characters to watch Black Lagoon, I've seen some crazy things, but this is Mission Impossible type stuff. I mean, the stunts that these characters pull, all of the weapons, the explosions. Imagine if Michael Bay directed a movie starring Tom Cruise. That is pretty much the action set pieces and the characters' reactions to them in Black Lagoon. And I love that. I love how sick everything looks and how just amazing everyone looks and feels, which brings me to another thing. I really love the animation and the character designs. For a show that was released in the mid to late 2000s, this is extremely fluid, and it doesn't have like that 2000s jank. I feel like you know what I'm talking about, at least I hope you do. It seems like Madhouse really, they had a solid grasp on where they wanted to go with this, and they stuck to it, and they said, we're going to put our all into this. There's not going to be a single frame wasted. And they didn't. Madhouse delivered with the animation and the character designs. I think that the ferocity, the earnestness that comes through, especially in the characters' eyes, they are so well portrayed. And as you know, I am a fiend for anime eyes. So seeing how well they depict emotion, whether it be the size of the iris or if the entire eye just shrinks in a fit of madness, it's amazing. The loss of life, everything is just, it's wild. I kid you not, I love this show so much. There are two more things that I want to talk about in our time together. The first is that I watch this dubbed, and I would say it's in the top five English dubs of all time. This is coming from someone who loves Yu Yu Hakusho's dub. I think Fruits Basket's dub is pretty good. Princess Tutu's dub is amazing. I'm trying to figure out where, that's why I say top five, I'm trying to figure out where exactly to place Black Lagoon. But what's so amazing about the English dub is, obviously, when you're translating things, when you're localizing them, you have to take certain liberties, you have to make things make sense for the crowd that you are addressing. And there are some clips that I've seen in the original dub, the Japanese dub, and I say, wow, the way that they handled that is actually really smart. There's one scene that's really funny. There's this guy begging for his life. Don't worry, you'll see that a lot. I'm not giving anything major away. And Revy's response in Japanese and English, they're kind of different, but they're both equally genius. And I would also have to say a lot of that has to do with the voice actor's delivery. They all do a pretty great job of being these characters. And by that, I mean they really embody them. They take to heart who these characters are and what they're about. And yeah, just amazing English dub. If you are kind of on the fence about sub and dub, if it's something that's kind of a toss-up for you, if you're new to anime, or if you just, maybe you're looking for a switch-up, you say, I watched a lot of sub, maybe a dub or two wouldn't kill me. This is a dub that I think you would really appreciate, especially because they put a lot of swearing in this one, and it's great. As someone who likes swearing, it was really phenomenal. The last thing that I want to talk about. This anime has one of the coolest openings and endings of all time. What do I mean by that? I'm glad you asked. The opening production, where the lady sings, "It's all up to you." Da, 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 da. I think about that 3 times a week. I have to play that. I have to play the entire opening on YouTube. I'll be at work and I'm just like, all right, it's Black Lagoon time. And it is. It always is Black Lagoon time. And it just goes so hard for no reason. It's just the ultimate. It's not even a bop. It is a rager. It is the ultimate rager. And there's nothing that can change my mind about top rager openings. I would even say that this beats Death Note. And we all know that Death Note's opening rages hard. But that's just my 2 cents. And the ending, it has a way of being extremely somber. It's like the episode is over. You can relax. You can kind of just soak in and take in everything that you've just experienced. But you know you're going to come back. That's what I get from the ending. Without showing you or playing any of it, those are what I get from the opening and the ending. And they are just really special. They're so special, in fact, that I think barring 1 or 2 episodes, for both seasons, they use the same opening and ending, which, again, it's not completely unfounded, but by the time you reach the mid to late 2000s, especially when you're going into the 2010s, people were starting to switch it up every season. I mean, even Spice and Wolf did it. So that was a, I don't know if I would call it a bold choice. I just think they knew that they had a winner with both of them. So they just continued with that. And honestly, the anime did not suffer at all for it. So, hey, if you like crime, if you like action, if you like amazing characters and dialogue, check out Black Lagoon, because it is so freaking stellar. It's one of my favorites of all time, and I would just love for more people to talk about it. But with all that said, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. And if you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider donating to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. I would also like to give you a huge thank you for listening to this episode of The Home for Anime. And really, this is one of the times where I just got to geek out a whole lot and not be super analytical. And I really enjoyed that. I love this show so much. I know I keep saying it, but you got to understand, it's just so good. It's so cool. But thank you for granting me the opportunity to do that. But that's all from me for now. And with that, I am out.